So the most basic exorcism tool is the power of the spoken word. To exercise the power of the spoken word, you must have faith in two dimensions. You must have faith in God. You must have faith in your own words. And of course, the source of the faith has to be from God. It works on the same principle as Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, when it says about moving mountains, it says in verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done." He believes that those things he says will be done. So you release the power of the spoken word and you exercise faith that that spoken word has gone forth and it will do its work. Of course, the faith comes from God. But here we're talking about you exercising your portion of faith in God's promises. The power of the spoken word is the means by which Jesus casts out demons. And the spoken word can even be applied when demons are far away. And you could take authority even at a distance if you develop faith in the spoken word. And you have to have faith in God's word and faith in your spoken words. It has to come forth fully. Some people don't have faith even in their own words. Or their own words are filled with doubt. Bible says you must not doubt in your heart. Because when you confront demons, demons can sense fear in you. Demons can sense. You don't have to say anything. They can sense it. They can sense whether you are not afraid of them or whether you're afraid of them. And if you're a young Christian and you're still in the process of overcoming your fear of demons, that's understandable. Just keep meditating on the word. Just keep fellowshipping with God and you grow out of it. But when you reach a point where you're no more afraid, demons also can sense it and they begin to be afraid of you. And that's when your words have more power. It is not so much how loud your voice is or how loudly you shout. It is how much faith you have in God and in the power of your spoken word. So you could say it in a normal tone. You could say it softly. And it will still work if you have faith that you release your spoken word at the appropriate time. Which is why many times it is better to pray and until you sense an anointing or in a sense of God's authority. And you pray and you worship until, you know, you reach a point of prayer, praise and worship. Just to encourage you, everyone has reached a point in your life when you do not have doubt and you do not have fear. Is it when? At times in your worship. I know you could be here, it could be anywhere where you were worshipping or you were spending time with God, whether publicly or in private. There were times when you reach a point when you could believe God for anything. Because you're so much in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there is no doubt and no fear. And so there were times, perhaps a few seconds, perhaps a few minutes. Some of you have reached a position in worship or in whatever place in your private life. Where you sense God's presence so strong that you could believe God for anything. And with absolutely no doubt. And so, before you release a spoken word, you try to get a sense of that. How you get it, through worship, through praise, whatever, And once you sense it flowing, which is why, you know, sometimes people are confused and they are wasting time talking. Next week we'll show an example of what happens, you know, when people are doing all kinds of other things rather than what they should do, and the demon didn't come out, when the disciples started to cast them out. But when you sense the presence of God and you sense faith flowing, however you do it, by worship or the presence of God, and then you reach a point where you know you could say any word and pray any prayer, and you could really pray with 100% of your faith inside. Now some of you say, oh, you know, I don't think I can do it. Let's put it this way. For example, when you and I want to carry a heavy object, right? We all know you could apply proportions of your physical energy. So for example, you could apply very little energy. And I'm trying to relax my muscles, so I apply very little energy, right? Or you could apply average energy, right? Or you could concentrate, and you're gonna put all your energy to it, right? And so that's a bit too much energy. So physically, you could control how much strength you use. So there is a point and a sense inside each one of us when your spirit, soul, and body are like one together, and you're releasing it forth. And you're releasing the spoken word with force and power. So in the same way you could do carry a chair in a manner, you could say certain words that you could say, you could pray. You know, I know some people, they are against religious prayer. That's understandable. But there is also a sense in which when you pray, you really mean it, and a sense of prayer when you just pray. And like, for example, let me try. It's very hard for me to do it, but let me try to illustrate. Like when you pray, you say, oh God, you know, we thank you. No, we praise you. Yeah, yeah, you're a good God. Oh yes, yes, you're a good God. Right, I'm not putting too much concentration on that prayer. And then there's a sense when I will really pray, Father, I really love you. Or you could say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yeah, I love you, Lord. Yeah, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I have not put much emphasis in saying I love him. I'm just blabbering. I'm sure some of you know what I mean. Your words can carry more of your soul and more of your spirit. Jesus say, I believe in John chapter 6 verse 63, my words are spirit and they are life. So there's a sense in which your words carry all of your heart's meaning. Words are powerful tools. So there has to be a sense of the faith of God, a sense of your faith in God, a sense of the faith that you're going to release a spoken word. And those words are going forth like a sword. When you apply rule number one in exorcism, which is the spoken word. The other biblical method of exorcism is music, which includes praise and worship. So let's look at the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel. And here's an example of someone tormented by demons, and that's old King Saul. When King Saul was rejected by God, a distressing spirit came upon him. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 14. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord. The word from the Lord means allowed by the Lord. It's a passive Hebrew sense. Not actually the Lord sent it, but the Lord allowed it because of disobedience. Troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling him. And so they looked for an anointed musician. And finally they found David. And so in verse 23 it says, so it was whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. The second biblical method of exorcism is by anointed music. And so when you expose a person to music, it doesn't necessarily have to have words or singing. Just music It can sometimes help in the process of deliverance in a person. In my life, I've seen one case. It was a very difficult case that we encountered in Penang. This young girl was possessed from the time she was very small. Been to mental institutions over and over again, and completely no cure in whatever way. And it was a demon that's attached herself to her life, even from birth. And normal methods doesn't seem to work. And a person can take authority, but you couldn't tell because most of the time the girl was silent. And then begins to behave weirdly. And in the end, one of the sisters there who were ministering to her was led by the Lord to bring a cassette player with anointed music, worship. And so every day she would just be there, she would worship God in the spirit, and she would just play that and just spend time worshiping God with this girl present. And as she's worshiping God and worshiping God, just surrounding her with worship, one day this girl sort of came out of her whole possession personality, and then for the first time she talked like a normal person, and she says, "Why am I this way?" And she started crying. And when she started crying and weeping, and then she gets several. After she left, she went back to her old normal state. It was not an instant thing. But over progression of time, she began to recover her own mind. But the key that I remember very clearly was music. Music. Then the question is, why? Why and how does this work besides the presence of God that comes to the music? For demons to possess people, they have to have something to hold, something to grab onto. Normally, they cannot grab hold of any human beings. Because if they could, right now they would possess every demon, every human being they could who doesn't have God in them. Right? If they could, they would. They are that nasty. But they can't. Demons can only climb into a life when there are things for them to hold. It could be sin, a habit of sin. For example, when a person starts drinking, it may start as a flesh problem. So they acquire a taste for it. But after some time, it may become a demonic problem. And that's a different level. It goes one level higher. And so, it could be a sin. It could be a crisis. An emotional crisis, a tragedy, or something of significance that caused a person great pain. Cracks in the human psyche. So demons creep in. They find opportunity to creep in and lay hold of a person. And it could be a mental obsession that slowly becomes demonic. And so they have to have something to grip on. And because our soul is a complex piece of instrument, one of the ways in which our soul is ministered to is by music. In one of the visions of Marita Davis, she wrote a book about heaven and hell when she was taken to heaven. And she was brought to children's paradise. And when she visited children's paradise, she found that one of the ways that the infants or the little babies who go to heaven and die on earth as babies and went to heaven, they were brought up by the angels. And one of the ways the angels bring them up is by playing different types of music to the baby. And by playing different types of music, it causes a vibration in the child's soul that help the child to grow and develop the soul, quote-unquote, muscles in the particular area. That's interesting. But from the Bible perspective, we know that music has an impact on the soul. Now, there are some classical music that could be useful too. Those by Beethoven, Mozart, and those good pieces of music, they reach in deep areas within our soul that we don't realize. And anointed Christian music, all those reach into areas beyond our intellectual mind.